David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome back Scott Fritz. Scott is currently involved in a number of business ventures, including a property management company, a website transaction company, and a business coaching and exit planning company. Scott has started, sold, and invested in over 30 ventures. In 2010, he authored The 40-Hour Work Year, which chronicles Scott's entrepreneurial journey firsthand. Scott facilitates workshops and is a keynote speaker for dozens of groups every year. In addition to various business pursuits, Scott held multiple local and global volunteer positions within the Entrepreneurs Organization between 2001 and 2011. Scott is also an EO certified facilitator, which allows him to pursue his passion of working with leading entrepreneurs in the areas of strategy, sales, leadership, people, and finance. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, David. Great to be back.
So you were last on episode 63, which is going back, over 2 years ago. And we discussed some of the key strategies that you found to be fundamental to business success. And as an author, speaker, and coach, you've also been very involved in the Entrepreneurs Organization, EO, which is a business support organization for those who haven't heard about it. And I'd love to talk with you about why you think entrepreneurs need help to be successful, and then how to figure out what help is needed, when, and why.
Sounds great.
So why do you think entrepreneurs need help?
Well, as most people who've started and grown their own companies realize fairly early on, is that they have certain strengths that aren't necessarily going to be found just out by hiring people. Those strengths need to be cultivated and grown on, and I think really need to be mentored through peer-to-peer networks and talking to people who have similar strengths and sharing with you the best ways to grow those strengths.
Now, when do you think it's appropriate to find an individual coach or individual mentor, and when is it appropriate to look for peer-to-peer support for help with your challenges?
Yeah, I think it can never be too soon. Fortunately for me, I was qualified to join EO. At the time, it was called YEO, Young Entrepreneurs Organization. And fortunate enough to be able to join that only about 2 years into business. And for those who are not able to get into that organization, it's $1 million top-line qualifier. There's an organization called Accelerator, which is a co-program with EO, and that covers the 250,000 to a million. So if you're at 250,000 top line, which is not, you know, that undoable for most small entrepreneurs, I recommend you get involved right away. I don't think it can ever be too soon.
Okay. And let's say you're not at 250. What do you do?
If you're not at 250, what I would do, recommend, is get on LinkedIn and put on there. In fact, I was just talking to an individual this morning who I met through a business pitch campaign, who her business is not at 250. It's not even at 50. And I told her to get on LinkedIn and start making connections with people that will help you find those people to mentor and coach you. So I'd start at LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. And what would you put out on LinkedIn?
The same way this person found me. She said, hey, I'm looking for help with my systems and my SOPs and how to train people and where to even just start. Would you be willing to take 15 minutes of your time to coach me through or point me in the right direction? And entrepreneurs in general are very helpful minded because they know and they remember what it was like to be at that point in their careers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. And when do you think it is appropriate to look for, let's say you're joining EO, which is a peer-to-peer support organization. Are there times when having an individual coach would be better?
Yeah, great question. So I look at it this way. Your peer-to-peer is more like an advisory board or in some cases a board of directors. And these are people who can experience share with you firsthand what they're going through, and you can draw the nuggets from that to build your business. The coach is more of a defined ending or defined project-based engagement. So, for example, when I engage somebody in a coaching program, whether it's a quarterly, annual, semi-annual program, we have defined outcomes that are outlined in those sessions. So when you've gotten to the point in your business that you're ready to create and define those outcomes you're looking for, I think that's when you should engage a coach.
What's an example of a defined outcome?
So let's say, you know, and the big buzz out there obviously is scaling your business. So let's say you've plateaued using your name here, right, and you're at, say, $3 million, and you've said, you know what, I've been treading water here at $3 million for the last 3 years. This should be a $10 million company. I need help getting us from $3 million to $10
million. Mm-hmm. And how do you find the right coach?
Again, great question. So I look at this from a standpoint of where are you at in your culture and how is your business set up? So if you're pretty well established in your culture, you've got strong mission, vision, values, you've got a pretty decent executive team, and you're ready to really become the visionary and grow your business, I think you should look for a coach who has experience doing just that. So most of my clients are people who are looking to grow and at some point exit their company. That's the stage they're in. If you're more early on and just kind of getting your, you know, feet wet and you haven't built an executive team yet, you're still very involved in the business, I'd probably recommend getting more of a hands-on, maybe a weekly or monthly coaching type program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when is, so talk to me a little more about the peer-to-peer advisory board or experience-based framework. When is that more appropriate for somebody?
So if you are, again, and this is all EO based, you know, if you have a thirst for learning, as they call it, and you really want to learn from others, you're not a know-it-all, you're not a, well, this is my way or the highway, I think you're a great fit for a peer-to-peer type setup. So if you really want to help identifying your passion and seeking out others who share it, and like I said earlier, working on your strengths, things like that, I think EO, those type of peer-to-peer networks are great. And again, I said earlier, your network equals your net worth. If you're really into building a strong network that, you know, spans all different types of disciplines and industries, I don't think there is a better type of a format out there than an EO or YPO system.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that you have particular ties and a history with EO. I know there are also a lot of people that either start their own individual peer-to-peer support group, or sometimes there are small clusters of peer-to-peer support groups that one person has created. Do you find that one kind of situation might be better for certain kinds of challenges than another?
Yeah, I personally have no experience in a, you know, an industry-based or a certain specific type peer-to-peer group. My experience was in EO throughout my 11 years, although I do have clients and have had clients who are in specific peer-to-peer networks in, say, technology or in the restaurant business. And I think those are really critical when you're wanting to have help developing certain industry systems or people skills in that industry. That's where I hear they get most of the takeaway from those type of peer-to-peer groups.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, can you talk to me a little bit about some of the step-by-step methods that EO uses for people who have not experienced that?
Specifically in coming into the organization, or?
Yeah, so if somebody's looking to join EO, what are some of the step-by-step frameworks that they would experience?
Yeah. So, you know, again, like I said, you've got to be a founder, co-founder, or majority owner and do $1 million a year top line, which needs to be verified by a tax return or by your CPA. So that's how you get in. Most chapters are going to do a pretty thorough screening. So they're going to put your information out to the chapter to make sure everybody's, you know, in line with this person and make sure there isn't any nefarious or less than ethical business practices this person been involved in. And then once you're accepted into the organization, you go through what's called forum training. And that takes place typically within the first month on board. And it's a full day of training in how to, what's called Gestalt Protocol, how to follow Gestalt Protocol inside your forum sessions. And these forum sessions, you meet with 6 to 10 EOers on a monthly basis every month. And you spend 3 to 6 hours going through a deep dive into each other's businesses and some of the issues you're dealing with.
That sounds great. Is there anything that is counterintuitive that comes out of this kind of framework that somebody wouldn't expect going into it?
Right. Well, when they take it through the training, and again, I, you know, I'm kind of an older guy, so I went through my training in 2000. So that shows you how, you know, I'm going off memory here. But the interesting thing is when you go through training, they really teach you, you know, how to speak from experience, own your own experience, And don't look at this as an advice and opinion type thing, or you're going to point out flaws or weaknesses in other people's business. It's about pulling the good from each other's business. The takeaway that most people don't expect is there's three levels that they talk about in the forum experience. And the first one is more of a superficial, you know, this is my business, this is how it operates. The second level is more of a deep dive into some of your business and maybe revealing some things that aren't going so well in your business. And then the third level is personal. And what I found, and most EOers find, is after your third to fourth year in your forum, almost all your forum sessions are centered around personal issues and really the challenges of being an entrepreneur and being that minority of a business person out there has to deal with all the issues you deal with as an entrepreneur.
So what might be an example of personal issue that somebody might be dealing with?
I mean, I would say I haven't heard them all, but, you know, everything from divorce to kids and how to have kids be raised so that they're not, you know, taking things for granted and still have a hard work ethic. Obviously, a lot of business partner issues for those who have business partners in their business, family business issues. I mean, the personal thing has ranged from everything from, you know, horrific things with deaths and things like that, to great opportunities that people have through their networks and personal challenges that they face because of those.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think the personal issues are the ones that end up becoming the most discussed after a while?
Well, you just really form a bond with these people. You know, it's interesting. My oldest daughter is going to be getting married in October, and my wife and I are sitting here putting together our invite list, and the first five people that come to mind for me to invite who are not family are all EO members that I've formed this kind of bond with. I mean, they're truly beyond just even a normal, say, high school or college friend. These are people who have shared in your life experience and at a level from an entrepreneur's point, I think see things really, and I don't mean this in any kind of a, you know, mean way, but they really see it only through the eyes that you have as an entrepreneur, because it's a different viewpoint of your life and your personal challenges in a lot of ways.
Right. And I suspect that you have shared some pretty intimate experiences with one another, which really, if that's the case, that would also deepen the bond and the friendship.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, what's cool is I was just on the phone about 2 weeks ago with the guy who was in my forum. Now, again, I haven't been in EO since 2011. So this is 6 years later. He now lives in DC. He was coming back to Vegas and, you know, he just wanted to meet and talk. And I mean, we spent maybe 15 minutes on business. The other 2 hours were life and kids and family and, you know, those kind of things.
Right. So it's interesting. How long do people typically stay in EO?
Yeah, again, I'm not totally up to speed on the statistics. I know when I was really involved, the average, I believe, was 4.5 to 5 years. And what they found was that if they could get people to stay into their second year, they would stay past 5 years. If they could get them to stay past 5 years, they typically would stay 8 or 9 years. So there's kind of this, you know, hill and valley type of thing, arrangement with EO. But again, I'm going off statistics now that are, you know, 6, 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your experience, why would someone move on from a peer-to-peer support group?
Yeah, besides the obvious reasons, which would be their business no longer qualifies or they sold their company or things like that. And I'm a big own your own experience person. I believe that if you make, you know, you get out of things what you put into them, I mean, common statement there. But if you really engage in EO and take advantage of all the learnings and the sessions and the conferences and all the different opportunities they have available, you'll stay in pretty much as long as you're able to, which is what I did. I didn't leave because I wanted to leave. I left because I sold my company. If you're kind of a what I call a donor and you're just there to add it to your, you know, LinkedIn profile that you're in EO and maybe go and hang out with some people once in a while, you probably aren't going to stay that long. So that's been my experience with different EOers.
Interesting. Now, looking at business coaching as a contrasting experience, when do you think it's appropriate to leave the coaching relationship?
That's a great question. So I think every style, every model is a little different in the business coaching world. So my main approach is I want to coach more entrepreneurs less frequently. So I'm more of a, I want to coach 40 people a year once or twice a year versus I'm going to coach 10 people a year every month. So my angle is more you've contacted me because you want to achieve this. I believe we can achieve this in 18 to 24 months. Let's set the program together. And in 24 months, you know, kick you out of the proverbial nest and you're on your way I'm not needed any longer. Other coaching programs that I spoke about earlier, and it depends on the stage versus the age of your business, you may need 2 to 3 years of heavy duty handholding, so to speak, with your team just to get them up to speed where you can actually take on that type of a coaching experience. So I think it really varies depending on where you're at. A lot of people I'll talk to, I don't tell them I don't want to work with them, but I say I'm not really a fit for you because you need to do these 6 or 7 things first before I can really have any major impact on your business.
Hmm. Scott, what do you think really successful leaders do to get guidance that others don't?
Well, again, I kind of touched this on before. You know, I think they're identifying their true passion, and then they seek others out who share that passion and can share with them ways that they've really leveraged that and the people that they know. Secondly, and again, this is so true, it's not even funny. I mean, there's great books on this. You know, work on your strengths and hire your weaknesses. So when I realized early on that a lot of the things I was doing not only were not making me any money or making me happy, they also were not my strength. And I started hiring people to handle those things that I wasn't that great at, the business just took off. Other things successful leaders are doing, which we've already talked about, they're joining groups like EO, YPO, even Vistage. You know, they basically realize that they don't have all the answers. And then again, I think they're building a strong network that is at multiple levels. So it's a network from a professional standpoint, an industry standpoint, a personal standpoint, all those areas.
That sounds great. Scott, what's coming up in the near future for you? What are you working on now?
Yeah, I'm going to continue coaching and facilitating and speaking at least the next couple of years. I've joined forces with a company called Organized Chaos. They're out of Phoenix. And the nice thing with Organized Chaos is they'll take a client who I mentioned earlier where I'm doing the annual or semi-annual work, but they want to take a group or a project and have some more interaction, you know, boots on the ground inside their business. Organized Chaos will come in and work with them on a weekly, monthly basis to execute on those. And then probably, quite honestly, in the next 2 to 3 years, I'm going to shift more from coaching into the exit planning realm. I've got a couple of clients now that kind of taken them up to that precipice, so to speak, and they want me to help them get ready for a position for exit.
Mm, sounds good. Who do you know who has been really remarkable at smashing plateaus?
And I was thinking about this because I remember from last time. So I've got somebody, and I'll make an introduction to you. His name is DJ Rezac, R-E-Z-A-C. And worked with him as a business coach for several years. His company now runs itself totally. He is living the 40-hour work year or less. And he's now taken on a whole angle, which he calls Dare to Dad. And he's created a whole system workshop and written a book. So he'd be a great person, I think, to talk to about how he did it and made his business run by itself.
That's awesome. And that's something that an awful lot of people would love to be able to do.
Absolutely. I mean, we can always make more money. We can't make more time.
That is for sure. 24 hours in a day, 168 hours in a week.
Yep.
And we shouldn't be working all of them.
Absolutely not.
Scott, how can people get in touch with you, follow you, learn more about what you're up to?
Well, again, I used to give out a lot of different ways to get a hold of me, but I basically just use LinkedIn now. So if you go to LinkedIn and look up Scott Fritz, I'll come up number one. And that's the best way not only to connect with me, but for me to connect you to others, because I did 4 of them this week already, and it's only Monday, just connecting people via LinkedIn and their networks.
Yeah, LinkedIn is a great tool. Okay, so we will include that in the show notes.
Excellent.
Scott, it's been great having you back on Smashing the Plateau for an update. Thanks for taking some time to talk in particular about the kinds of help that's most beneficial for entrepreneurs who have different kinds of challenges and maybe are at different stages in their entrepreneurial journey. So I really appreciate that. My guest today has been business coach, author, speaker, serial entrepreneur, and investor Scott Fritz, who's come back again on Smashing the Plateau. Thanks again, Scott.
Thank you, David. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. 0770. You never know what you might find out.